Greetings and welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church on Kirkpatrick Road in Burlington, North Carolina. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. If you'd like to correspond with Pastor Barkman and the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. The Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. Now with today's message from God's Word, here is Pastor Greg Barkman.
Amazing grace.
Is it possible that it is already the last day of November 2009 and tomorrow begins December? Where does time go? Tempus fugit, time flies indeed. Greetings and welcome to the Beacon Broadcast on this Monday, November 30. Thanks for tuning in, and special thanks to those of you whose financial gifts uphold us and make it possible for us to continue this broadcast on this station. We've been exploring, of late, the causal relationship between a pastor's family and his ability to lead the church. That's the 14th requirement for pastors in 1 Timothy chapter 3. One who rules his own house well, having his children in submission with all reverence. For if a man does not know how to rule his own house, how will he take care of the church of God? So, this causal relationship between the pastor and his family, the general requirement that he be able to rule over, preside, oversee, superintend his household, his family, in an exemplary manner. And his children are a good example of this. Watch his children. See how he deals with his children. See how his children respect him and respond to his leadership. And if you see a good example there, then you recognize that this man in that area is certainly qualified to lead the church. If he can superintend his family, then he can superintend the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, and vice versa. If he cannot seem to successfully superintend his family, then he will not be able to successfully superintend the church. That's what God says. I didn't say it. That's what God says. I'm sure at times every pastor has wished that those words were not in the Bible, because there is not a pastor anywhere who feels that he has had a perfect record with his family, that he has always dealt with his family in a 100% exemplary manner. No pastor has, no pastor can. And so it's obvious, as long as we're all sinners upon the earth, that nobody is going to meet the standard of 100% perfection, and that's not what the Bible requires. But this is a general observation, not what may happen on one occasion or another occasion, but what happens day in, day out, month in, month out, year in, year out. What do you see? Do you see a well-ordered home? Do you see obedient and respectful children? Good. That man will make a good leader in the church. Do you see disorder in the home? Do you see chaos in the home? Do you see rebellious children who cannot seem to be brought under control? Do you see rebellious children whose father is unwilling to rein them in and to bring them under control? He's too indulgent to do that. Then here's a man who is not qualified to oversee the church of God. And though no one can guarantee his child's salvation, it is possible to guarantee their conduct, at least to a point, as long as they remain a part of his household. We've already talked about that. And so a pastor needs to give careful attention to his family. And there's always a bit of attention here, because the work of the Lord requires a great deal of time and attention and emotional energy, but the family also must be a significant priority. I've heard debates back and forth as to what comes first, family first, marriage first, or work of the Lord first, and some will answer that one way and some will answer it another. I'm not prepared to say, frankly, on the basis of Scripture, I'm not prepared to say that the family must come first, and that may surprise you. But I read too many statements by Christ that seem to indicate the opposite. The man who came to Christ and said, "Lord, I would follow you, but first let me bury my father." And Jesus said, "Let the dead bury the dead, you come and follow me." In other words, give first priority to me, not to your family. Right? Or the time that Jesus' mother, his mother, and brothers and sisters came to the house where he was teaching, and somebody sent word up and said, "Master, your mother, your brothers and sisters are calling for you." And Jesus did not respond to that. He just gestured to those who were listening to his word, and he said, "Here is my mother and father and brothers and sisters, those who are doing my word. They are my family." In other words, spiritual family takes priority over physical family. Yes, that's what Jesus taught, and in so many ways he taught that. How about the apostles that he called? As far as we know, they all had wives and probably had some children, and yet Jesus took them away from all of that. They followed him for 3 years. We would look at that and say, why, they've abandoned their families. They've abandoned their wives and their children. And apparently they did. We don't find too many times when they went back home, though I think there probably are more occasions than readily meets the eye in the Gospels. There were opportunities to do that. They were continually traveling through the Galilee area where all of them came from. They had opportunities to go home. We find one occasion early in the life of Christ when Jesus was invited into the home of Peter, and Peter's wife was apparently there, and his mother-in-law was there, and the mother-in-law was sick, and Christ healed her, and so forth. But how do you explain this? Christ requiring his apostles to put him first, to make him the first priority, not their physical family. That's a tough one to explain if you listen to some of the emphasis and rhetoric of our day, with this renewed emphasis upon the family, a much-needed emphasis, but like so many things, and listen to me now, like so many things, we tend to jerk from one focus to another depending upon the need. The squeaking wheel gets the grease. And so in our society, a few decades ago, it became apparent that the family was under attack, marriage was under attack, families were failing, marriages were falling apart, divorce rate was high, there was a tremendous failure. And so what do you do? Well, we've got to rush in and have a focus on the family and have everybody giving more attention to the family and teaching people the priority of the family and how to have good marriages and how to raise your children and so forth. And that's good. I'm not opposed to that. That's good. I think it was much needed, but it's very easy in that kind of a climate to overstate some things, to overemphasize the case, to the extent that we have people who put family first so that they will put family above everything else, including church. And a number of families who have just really made the family the center of everything. They're going to homeschool their children. Everything's going to be family. And if they don't find a church that caters to their way of doing things and just pleases them in every way, then very often what they do is just withdraw from church and have a church service at home. In other words, their family becomes everything, including the church. Their family becomes family. Their family becomes school. Their family becomes church. Their family becomes everything. And I think that's unhealthy. I don't think that's the way that God designed it at all. That's not what we find in the Bible. In the Bible, we find that Christians, including Christian families, are to be part of local churches. You are part of a larger family, the family of God, and you have responsibilities to that just as much as you do to your own family, and one doesn't cancel out the other. And if your focus is such that it seems like one is going to have to cancel out the other, then I would suggest to you that you have fallen into an imbalance. You've fallen into the ditch. For every true doctrine, there's always a danger. There's always a ditch on either side of the road. And for some, there's a danger of neglecting their family. And for others, there's the danger of, and listen to me now, I'm choosing my words advisedly, there's a danger of worshiping your family, making your family your idol, giving your family such priority. You've heard this, you've heard it again and over and over and over again. Family first, family first, family first, family first, until family becomes first, really, above God himself. And you say, oh, no, 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 no. God's first, family second, church is third, and whatever else. But you see, if you can abandon the church, you say, well, the church is one thing, but I haven't abandoned God. But you see, God is the one who has taught us about our relationship to the church. So don't tell me that you're putting God first when you are being disobedient to what he says about the church. Now, we're talking, of course, I got a little bit astray there. We're talking about the pastor and his family, and how is he to relate to his family? Should he abandon his family? No. Should he put his family first? I'm not sure that he should. He's got to find a balance. In his life, God is first. And in his life, his ministry, the church, is going to be highly significant. He can't allow the church work to cause him to neglect his family, but neither can he use his family to neglect the church, to neglect his ministry, which can be done. And we aren't left just to our own devices to figure out what the proper balance is. Well, I think it ought to be this way. Well, I think it ought to be that way. I've had families who said, well, we can't come to church on Sunday night. Why? Well, because that's family night. Well, it seems to me that if your church has Sunday night services, for you to just say, we're going to opt out, that's going to be family night for us. We just don't do church on Sunday night. We'll do church on Sunday morning, but we won't do church on Sunday night. Well, if your church assembles on Sunday night and you have made it a point to abandon that time of assembly forever, always, that's forsaking the assembly. Oh, we come on Sunday morning. You're forsaking the assembly. I'm sorry. I'm not saying that if you ever miss on Sunday night that you are unfaithful, but I'm saying if you always miss on Sunday night for no other reason, not reasons of health, not reasons of legitimate reasons, as sometimes people have, but just simply because we've decided to schedule our family on Sunday night. I know I'm stepping on some toes here. We've decided to schedule our family on Sunday night. I would say to you, schedule your family on Monday night. You're making a conflict that doesn't need to exist. Be careful. If you make your family an idol, it's an idol just as much as if you make money your idol. Until tomorrow, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you his eternal peace.